Today I want us to use as our scripture lesson that piece from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. All right. That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Did you catch that part? This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen and amen. Today I want us to talk about in Jesus' name, and I guess I should have put one little piece even before we got to this, and that is, I'm on the last day of a set of antibiotics, so in case you're wondering why I didn't come up and shake your hand, there's just some things that I probably shouldn't share. And so we'll do a little fist bump or whatever today, but you'll understand. I know you're quick with that. Do you and I realize we have been waiting almost 2,000 years for Jesus to come back? And you'd think that in 2,000 years, we would have probably figured out an awful lot of things. And you know something? Some of them we probably have. Some others, I'm not so sure. I mean, even in Timothy's time, which was 30 years after the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the church was trying to figure out at that time, how are we supposed to live in this world while we wait on Jesus to come back? What are we supposed to be doing? How do we act? How am I different? How are we to live both in the spiritual world and in this physical world all at the same time? How do we somehow bring the heavenly right down into the world that you and I live in? How can we live God's promise right here, right now, day by day? In Paul's letter to Timothy, Paul's basically reminding us, I've known Timothy almost all of his life. I met him early on. I know his dad. I know his mom. I took him under my wings. I even took him out on missionary journeys. But Timothy, I need you to stay in Ephesus. I need you working in Ephesus. And in doing that, he also gives him some suggestions on how you and I can be church right here, right now. I want us to concentrate on one specific suggestion that Paul makes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and it's all about the role of prayer in allowing us to live by the Spirit today in this earthly world. He says, and I quote, I urge you then, first of all, that request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. You know, Paul may be talking about the qualities of worship, But notice where he begins. He starts right at the beginning as of the very first thing, the most important thing, prayer. You know, one of the things that I absolutely love about Mount Olivet Church, we are prayer warriors. That's who we are. Have been for a long time. God's been using us that way for a long time. First importance, prayer. It's the most important part of a spiritual life. Why? Because it connects us to God. Even as we hear in Psalm 6:9, the Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. I mean, it's how Jesus received his strength, his power, day by day. If you go back to Matthew 14:23 and a whole bunch of other scriptures as well, it says things such as, and after he dismissed them, meaning the crowd and the disciples, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Folks, you and I need strength. You and I need power if we're going to live as spiritual people in our world today. I mean, when you think of all of the different things that are going on in our world, you and I need strength and power and joy in the midst of it all. And if we're missing strength and power, then I can tell you, you and I are going to be missing the joy that is life as well. Because joy comes very specifically. Joy comes from spending time with Jesus. You're not going to find it any other way. I'm not going to find it any other way. Joy comes because we spend time with Jesus. That's prayer. So verse 1 continues. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. And so he begins our lesson on our spiritual life and our worldly place with prayer. But he's very specific about that prayer. He says, pray every way you know how. Now, I want you to think for just a second. I want you to think, how many different ways can you and I pray? I need your help now. Come on. How many different ways can you and I pray? Okay. You're going to have to just talk louder than that. I'm hard of hearing. I heard you. Oh, out loud. They're good. Silently. I think I heard without speaking. Oh, thank you. See, I told you I can't hear. That's why I don't repeat things that are said in prayer time. I can promise you I will get them wrong. Yes. Whispering. Okay. Yes, with others. We can pray for others. We can pray for community. We can pray for situations. We can intercede. I mean, there are requests, there are intercessions, there are petitions, there's thanksgiving. Anybody ever prayed using ACTS? A-C-T-S? Anybody want to run that one out for us real quick? What does ACTS stand for? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Real quick way, and you know you've just put everything into a prayer. How many of you have ever done the five-finger prayer? No five-finger prayer people in here? Oh, I got two. I got three. Good. I mean, five-finger prayer. The thumb is the things and people that are closest to you. the pointing finger, those teachers and others that point the way, the tallest, the leaders, the ring finger, the weak finger for all those who are in trouble, and finally, the little finger for myself. I found a book. I'm not trying to ask anybody to go out and look for this book. It was called 101 Ways to Pray. I got to tell you, it captured my attention, and so I had to go online. I went online and bought it anyway. And I'm not going to give you all 101, okay? I'm not that dumb. Well, maybe I am, but I'm not going to give you all 101. For instance, just a few of them. An alarm clock, hallelujah. How many of us are happy when that alarm clock goes off in the first thing in the morning? I didn't think so. But what if I change my thought about that alarm clock, and with the alarm, I instantly begin to praise God for the day that He's just given us? Interesting. Or this was one that just got my attention. I truthfully didn't give a. The practice shower power. I'm going to leave that one alone. Driveway meditation. Well, I got to tell you, I may not do nearly the driveway meditation, but a whole lot of people start praying when I start driving. Climbing stairs. And that one I understand. Have you ever done breath prayers? Every time a breath goes in, every time the breath goes out, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And it's just wonderful what can happen in our bodies when those kinds of climbing stairs, breath prayers take place. Or the 1 minute fast. And personally, that's about as long as I can handle fasting anyway. But I figured everybody would know that. I mean, I'm not telling anybody anything that they hadn't already heard or seen. Now, folks, what Paul's trying to remind us is don't get hung up on just praying one way. I mean, don't get into that rut that says, oh, I was so rushed this morning, I didn't get time to pray this morning as I normally do, and therefore, Lord, I'll talk to you tomorrow. You know, we don't have to do that. There are a lot of different times and places and ways that you and I can pray, because what he writes to us and what he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he tells us to pray. Now, what's that next word he uses? Without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. And that's to pray at all times and with every way that you and I know. And that prayers be made for everyone. Again, he's very specific. It was at a time when the church was really coming under the oppression of world leaders. And people were asking themselves, how in the world are you and I supposed to be Christians in the midst of a world that looks and acts like our world does? And some of these political leaders were actually asking the Christians of that day to bow down and to worship their image. So what can I do in the midst of that type of pressure from the outside? What is a Christian to do? And Paul says, pray for everybody, for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Notice, in troubled times, Paul's saying, pray for the leaders, even those who are persecuting us, even those that we dislike, and do it for our own good. I remember in Luke 16, Jesus is giving that example of that dishonest manager. And it's funny that even as Jesus lifted up that dishonest manager, Paul's telling us to recognize and to lift up that we need to be praying even for those who can hurt us. Why? We do it for our own good. Did you catch that? We do it for our own good, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. But Paul also says there's a very important reason for us to pray for everybody, and it comes in verse 3 and 4. He says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Folks, did you catch it? Paul wants us to pray. Why? Because it pleases God. And isn't that really enough? It pleases God. Just think, I suddenly know I, the sinner that I am, I can do something that pleases God. And then he takes it another step further, because God wants all to be saved. God wants all to come to know the truth. That Jesus truly has come as a ransom for all. I mean, God's desire in 60 AD is exactly God's desire in 2016. God wants all to be saved. I need to ask each of us a very personal question right now. And it's intentionally very personal. Are we praying for the souls of other people? Are we praying for the salvation of other people? Or are we just kind of sitting back saying, well, Lord, you got everything under control. I guess you don't need me. You don't want me involved. Are we praying for people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord, as their Savior? And I got to tell you something. This is confession time, folks. Confession time for your pastor. Because I know, as I was working on this sermon, God's conviction came on me. John, you haven't been praying for individual souls to come to Jesus Christ. And I got to tell you, folks, that hit me like a ton of bricks. That I'd had this image of praying for everybody and that was enough. But instead, hearing, sensing, feeling Jesus saying unto me, who are they by name? Who is that person that I have placed before you?